From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 49 of Little Brother, dated the 28th of August, 2021. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. So let's get started. Toyota have joined the ranks of car manufacturers who have been affected by supply shortages resulting from the continued COVID pandemic. Ford and General Motors have had issues like this already during the course of the pandemic, however, this is a first for the world's largest automaker. Next month, Toyota are expected to roll back production by around 40% due to a shortage of computer chips. There's been a lot of talk this week about a Windows vulnerability connected to users of mice made by Razer. The Razer mouse driver installation opens a window of opportunity when it opens a window on your screen. Partway through the installation process, the Razer driver installer opens an instance of Windows Explorer, which has escalated privileges. This is the opportunity. Once that window's open, shift right-click, then open a privileged instance of PowerShell and you have unfettered control of the system. You don't even actually need to own a Razer mouse to pull this off. Just the wireless dongle associated with one is sufficient. Of course, you can also do this by simulating a Razer mouse or a dongle. Code has appeared already on GitHub to emulate one using an Android phone running Lineage OS. While Razer are taking steps to prevent this from happening, it seems likely that any permanent fix for the problem would have to come from Microsoft. The Center for Internet Security is warning about vulnerabilities in the Chrome web browser, which is a Google product. Google have listed off the types of vulnerabilities, but they have understandably not given any insight into how those vulnerabilities come into play. The versions of Chrome that have these vulnerabilities are somewhat older, so the usual advice holds here, and that is to make sure that all of your software is up to date. For their part, CIS have stated that they are not aware of any exploits in the wild. Numerous websites have raised the alarm about a recent posting by the International Monetary Fund. In an article posted on the IMF website entitled "The New Morality of Debt," Oxford University Research Associate Nikita Agarwal posits that it may be a useful thing to use individuals' social media activity, mobile phone data, and data-driven machine learning to help in the determination of an individual's creditworthiness. The stated objective of the article is to level the playing field and to improve access to credit for the historically disadvantaged. This thinking is flawed because data-driven machine learning has already been demonstrated to show a racial and class bias that it inherits from the humans who created the training datasets, and on top of that, this will have a chilling effect on free speech, much the way that China's social credit system does. Home Depot is trying a new strategy to manage power tool theft. Before you can operate the tool, it has to be activated using a Bluetooth-related technology. When you purchase the tool, they activate it. If the tool isn't activated, it won't operate when unpacked. This does raise two questions for me. One is whether or not a tool can be deactivated once it's been activated, and the other is whether or not, being a Bluetooth-based technology, a hack will be developed for it. My guess is that the answer to both of these is probably. We all know that passwords are secrets. You just don't share them. Simple, right? Well, apparently this is a novelty to Tina Peters, the county clerk of Mesa County, Colorado. During a security update to the county's voting machines last May, Ms. Peters allowed a breach to occur in which she passed an unidentified individual off as a county employee and misled her office staff about his background status in order to enable him to surreptitiously record the passwords related to the voting machines. Days before the breach, Peters directed her staff to disable the video surveillance in the office. However, it appears not to have happened. The office of Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold is in possession of the footage and is investigating. Finally, from the UK, in a move that's sure to upset Emmanuel Goldstein, it seems as though British Telecom is done with traditional landline telephones. Over the next few years, traditional analog landline phones will be phased out in favor of more popular options of voice over IP and, of course, mobile phones. This is driven by the desire to end the maintenance for the thousands upon thousands of miles of copper wire necessary to make traditional landlines work. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means? It's time for another episode of Who Got Pwned This Week? Well, it's been a busy week. First up on the list, we find that AT&T may or may not have been pwned. Threat actor Shiny Hunters have placed an ad on an underground forum auctioning off a data set that they claim belongs to AT&T. The data on auction allegedly contains names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, social security numbers, and dates of birth for around 70 million AT&T customers. Bidding has started at $200,000 with a buy-it-now price of $1 million. AT&T have disputed the claims of the threat actor and deny having lost control of the consumer data. However, watchdog group Restore Privacy have examined some of the sample data provided and confirmed that it appears genuine. Shiny Hunters have declined to describe how they obtained the data. However, their Wikipedia page contains a long list of past successful exploits, and it is likely that AT&T have indeed been pwned. 3 weeks ago, in episode 46, I spoke briefly about the federal government's Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and their efforts to examine the cybersecurity stances of several federal agencies to see if they'd improved any from the terrible position they were in 2 years prior. Most had not, with only the Department of Homeland Security making any significant improvements. As such, my reporting last week on the Census Bureau being breached shouldn't have come as anything of a shock, and neither should this week's second breach. It seems like the U.S. State Department was breached. While there have been no apparent disruptions of the State Department's services, the exact origin and extent of the breach is not being discussed. But I'm not done yet. Did I mention it's been a busy week in pwnage? There's a third victim this week, and that's the town of Peterborough, New Hampshire. According to a press release from the town issued on Monday, the breach occurred on July 26th and has resulted in the theft of approximately $2.3 million. The U.S. Secret Service is involved in the investigation and are viewing this as wire fraud. So last week, I defined the term pwned for you. So the words you need to know this week are social engineering and operational security. Starting with the latter, operational security or operations security is a military term that everyone should be familiar with. The expression, loose lips sink ships, is as true today as it ever was. Operations security, or OPSEC for short, refers to keeping quiet about information that doesn't need to be shared and can be used to do harm to you, your associates, or your goals. It applies to civilian life as much as it does to military, but civilians, especially in this age of social media, well, they suck at it. Social engineering is the flip side of the coin for OPSEC. Social engineering is a euphemistic term for the art of tricking people into giving up information that they probably shouldn't. Probably the best way to demonstrate this is by example, so here's an example in a clip from Jimmy Kimmel Live from a few years ago.
We're talking about cybersecurity today and how safe people's passwords are. What is one of your online passwords currently?
It is my dog's name and the year I graduated from high school.
Oh, what kind of dog do you have?
I have a Chihuahua Papillon.
And what's its name?
Jameson.
Jameson. And where did you go to school?
I went to school back in Greensburg, Pennsylvania.
What school?
Hempfield Area Senior High School.
Oh, when did you graduate?
In 2009.
Oh, great.
So that's social engineering. Now, a meme has been making the rounds on Facebook this week, which is a lot more noteworthy than most because it carries a true and relevant message. Don't overshare on social media. The meme features two pictures. One is a picture of a family with school-aged children. The house number is clearly visible, providing a clue to where the family lives. The other is a picture of a cute sign posted outside the house by the proud parents who live there. The sign has the child's name and school and the teacher's name and the child's age and aspirations. It's really, really cute, but it's a recipe for disaster. At this point, you have provided a potential predator with everything they need to know. A quick web search will turn up the phone number of the school. They can now pretend to be the child's mother or father or give permission for the child to be picked up by an aunt or an uncle, which they will then pretend to be at the end of the school day. So, first takeaway is this. Don't post these signs, and for the love of all that is right and good in the universe, don't post them on social media. While we're on the topic, though, how about those stick figure families that have been all the rage in recent years? Here, you are revealing how many adults, how many children, their genders, and whether or not you have a dog guarding the house. This is information that nobody needs for any good purpose and information that you shouldn't be giving away. So takeaway number two, no stick figure families. Now, if you want a sticker of a Dalek or a Godzilla attacking a stick figure family, that's a whole other story, as long as it doesn't actually reveal any real facts about your family besides your twisted sense of humor. My father-in-law has for a long time been critical, and I believe rightly so, of people proudly posting signs in their yards indicating that their homes are gun-free. I have no idea how often such things happen, but the argument he makes is that this tells the whole world that there won't be any resistance if they decide to rob your home. I would go further to say that if you do own a gun, or really any kind of weapon, you probably shouldn't advertise that fact either. You have something valuable, and if you advertise that fact, you are inviting theft. The same logic also applies to things like signs advertising what brand of security system you own. For starters, why do you want to give free advertising to a large corporation? I don't get that. But never minding that, understand that when the brand of security system that you own has been made known, that system's vulnerabilities can be exploited against you. Some of the popular brands are actually stunningly vulnerable to simple attacks that can be carried out with a $20 handheld radio transceiver. Finally, let me talk about things that I will call tribal markings, for lack of a better name. These are things like club memberships, ham radio call signs, political affiliations and views, etc. Not only do these provide useful information for social engineers, but they may even, in some cases, open you up to attack. So the three takeaways are, don't advertise your kids' information, don't advertise your security measures, don't advertise your affiliations, and for the love of all that is right and good in the universe, don't do any of that on social media. Any of these open the door to invasions of your privacy, your home, and your personal security. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fonkaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. And our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Thank you.